One of the most important organizations of our time is the ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom, based in Scottsdale, Arizona. And it fights for religious freedom in a variety of cases, including some that have even gone before the United States Supreme Court. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest right now is Mike Ferris, who's the president of the ADF. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be with you.
If you don't mind, how about a little bit of a history lesson in terms of how the ADF came to be? Because the founder, the ultimate founder of this radio station from which I'm talking with you right now, was the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, and he joined forces with others to create your organization, and your organization lives on, even though he has gone on to glory.
Indeed. Dr. Kennedy was a tremendous part of the founding of Alliance Defending Freedom, along with Bill Bright, Dr. James Dobson, Marlon Maddox, Larry Burkett, and a few other great Christian leaders. And they had a common vision that there was a need for a planned legal response to the many threats to our liberty. And so they thought that this was a great idea. They worked together to found it. They hired Alan Sears as the first president, and he served for many, many years. And I took over as the second president about 5.5 years ago.
Hmm. All right. Now, sometimes, unfortunately, whenever any Christian is doing something good in this world, there's a lot of criticism. So, for example, the ADF, just like D. James Kennedy Ministries today, is being labeled as supposedly a hate group. And sometimes corporate media sees that list from the Southern Poverty Law Association or whatever, and they or center, and they think, oh, this must be true. They're truly a hate group. How do you respond to that kind of charge?
Well, the very partisan, very biased organization, the SPLC, simply is what it really is saying is we don't like what these people stand for. And it's true. They don't like what we stand for because we stand for traditional marriage. We stand for religious freedom. We stand for freedom of speech for everybody. And we're facing, frankly, a lot of violence that's being generated by the Alliance against Alliance Defending Freedom by the Southern Poverty Law Center. For example, at Yale Law School earlier this month, Kristen Wagner, who is our general counsel, was there speaking and at a Federalist Society event, and there was so much physical threats and violence being threatened by the people who are following the Southern Poverty Law Center designation. It's created a real problem, and we've had a number of repeat events like that where they are genning people up to threaten violence. So the true hate group is them. They're the ones that are saying people should be silenced because we don't agree. Our position is that everybody in the country should be able to speak their mind freely. And the old American tradition is, I may disagree with everything you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. And whether you should be allowed to speak or not freely should not be judged by some vague hate standard, whatever that means, instead should be judged by the standards of the Constitution of the United States, which are very limited rules about restricting speech, such as obscenity, giving away military secrets, defamation, and things like that. And so what we do doesn't come close to any of those things. And so their efforts to silence us is at its core un-American.
It's kind of scary, too, because wouldn't this be future lawyers from Yale Law School? And yet they're basically saying we don't agree with free speech if we don't like that speech.
Indeed. In fact, a federal appellate judge who has a more liberal reputation took them to task for that very reason. He said that he didn't think that any of the students involved should be allowed to be able to clerk for federal judges because, he said, presumably all federal judges agree with freedom of speech. And this was a liberal judge. So, you know, my hat's off to him for recognizing it for what it is. But it's a very dangerous trend. And we should, you know, want to be sure that everybody in this country stands up for freedom of speech. And the last thing we want is people put in positions of power who think that the American ideals are a bad idea.
Was your employee, you know, Kristen Wagoner, was she able to actually give the presentation? It's my understanding that it basically got shut down by the shouters and so forth. And so free speech died that night.
Well, it was chaos. I mean, she got 30, 40 seconds at a time, and then the shouting would re-erupt, and people were pounding on the walls. And so I asked her if she got to make her speech. She said, in 30 to 40 second sound bites here and there. So it was not able to go on as it was planned, but she wasn't, you know, totally silenced. But that's not the standard. Yale should be ashamed of itself for doing what it did, just a constant disruption. And what we learned is that people who oppose our freedom oppose freedom itself. And that's the net lesson of the Yale incident.
Now, Yale is in Connecticut, and I understand one of the cases that you were involved in was helping some athletes who were girls, female athletes who would have the protections normally of Title IX, where they could, as girls, compete against girls. And one of the videos that you all have produced is very powerful stuff, basically fighting for girls to be able to compete against girls, not boys who claim to be girls, and then they win all the trophies, you know, athletically, because yeah. God has gifted them, you know, in stronger ways and so forth. We see this, you know, happening with the University of Pennsylvania student who claims to be a female, but he's a great swimmer, as you know. And so anyway, that is just sort this out for us, if you would.
Sure. Yeah, indeed, one of our main cases that we're litigating on protecting girls from transgender male athletes coming into their sport. In fact, any of the cases you've heard about in the country, we're litigating them all. And so the case there has some really interesting facts. It was high school girls who, you know, would have otherwise won the state championship. There were two guys coming in and running in the track races. And one of the girls is a twin. And her twin brother doesn't do track. He plays football. He plays baseball. But he doesn't train for track. And she said, my twin brother, untrained, can beat me at every one of my events. Otherwise, she's the state champion. And you have an untrained, just athletic guy. If you want to know all things being equal, well, there's all things being equal. You got twins. And the guys win every time. And so it's not girls' sports anymore. It's, you know, it's, you know, mixed gender at best. And so it's going to be dominated by men. And so that's just simply not fair to anybody. And it just defies common sense. It feels like the whole story of the Emperor's New Clothes, where, you know, somebody's got to stand up and say, this is system just doesn't make sense. And we've got to, you know, traditional values didn't come by accident. They came because they were God-given, and they make common sense to just about everybody except for some philosophically motivated activists who just don't really care what the consequences in real life are of their crazy ideas.
Well, not to beat the Yale case, you know, not the Yale case, but the Yale story to death, but just real briefly, what was Christine's message that she was trying to get out there? Was it something related to the whole transgender issue? Was that the kind of the tip of the spear that made people so upset?
No, it was a case about free speech, and we were there with a person from the American Humanist Association who supported our argument in the U.S. Supreme Court on a free speech issue, and the we had represented a student in a Georgia community college who had been denied by the campus police the ability to speak freely because he was preaching the gospel, and they didn't like him preaching the gospel. And we won the case, and the case went down on a procedural issue about nominal damages. If they violate the Constitution and then say, oh, we're sorry, we won't do it again, do they have to pay any damages at all? And the attorney's fees that go with it, because otherwise the schools just never learn a lesson. And people from right and left, organizations from the right and the left, supported our position is that when there's a violation of the Constitution, government officials shouldn't get away with just, oh, I'm sorry. And so we had won that case in the Supreme Court. Kristen Wagoner argued the case in the Supreme Court. The lawyer from the liberal organization supported our view in that one case, and they were there to talk about the principles of protecting free speech for everybody. And so didn't have anything to do with transgender, but the Southern Poverty Law Center had whipped up this crowd into a frenzy over the transgender issue, and that's what the most of the protests were about.
That's amazing. Tell us about another case, the 303 Creative case. I understand that may be going up before the U.S.
Indeed. The Supreme Court has ruled that they are going to hear that case in its next term. So that'll be perhaps in October or November, it will be argued, but it's definitely been accepted for a full Supreme Court review. And in that case, we represent a web designer named Lori Smith from Colorado, who brought an affirmative action against the Colorado law that was used against Jack Phillips, our client in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, who won his case in the Supreme Court, only to be re-prosecuted multiple times by the state of Colorado. And so Lori said, I don't want to make websites for people whose philosophy I don't agree with. I don't want to be forced to use my free speech talents for creating messages that I don't support. And so we lost that case on a 2-1 vote in the Court of Appeals. And it's the kind of loss that you cherish because it was so outrageous that it just begged the Supreme Court to take it. And there was a terrific dissent as well. And so the court did take it. And this case is likely to settle once and for all what happens when there's a dispute between a creative professional, usually a Christian, who says, I don't want to give a message that I don't agree with, being coerced to speak. And on the other side, you have the gay rights laws. And so the correct answer should be the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution makes it really clear. When you have a conflict between a statute and the federal Constitution, the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. So the First Amendment should prevail over these state gay rights laws or federal gay rights laws for that matter, and that they, no matter what the gay rights law says, it cannot be used in a fashion that forces you to speak in a way that violates your rights under the First Amendment. And so that's what this case is going for, and we hope that we win, of course, and we hope that it settles it once and for all.
Some interesting analogies here in a little press release about this. You said, should the government have the power to punish, let's say, an LGBT web designer for not creating a website criticizing same-sex marriage for a church? Should the government have the power to punish an atheist singer for not singing Christian hymns at a church's Easter service? And on it goes.
Yeah, indeed. But, you know, of course the left doesn't see it that way. They think that the outcome should be whatever they favor, and it's like a shell game where you put the pea under one of the shells and you move it around and get the outcome you want. That's not how the law should work. The law should be the same day in and day out for everyone, and it shouldn't matter. And in fact, in the Jack Phillips case, before the Supreme Court, there had been a reverse situation where a man had gone to a bakery that was more left-leaning and asked for a cake that criticized same-sex marriage, and they refused to make it. And he filed a charge, and the agency that held Jack Phillips responsible said, no, it was free speech rights for the other party. And that inconsistency was a major portion of the victory in the Jack Phillips case in the Supreme Court.
Wow. Well, it just seems that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. I mean, these things never stop. We have 30 seconds to close here. What else do you want to say about the Alliance Defending Freedom and the important work you're doing?
Well, I mainly want people to know that we're here, that if you are challenged about SGU rights, please contact us, because I'm ashamed to say that I learned of people who give up on fighting for their rights because they didn't know anybody was here to defend them. Well, we're here. And so contact us, and we may not be able to take all cases, but we'll sure take a look at any time your rights are being violated.
And that's adflegal.org?
That's right.
Okay. Michael Ferris, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thank you.